This is the Draft Prospect Review Podcast from Patriots.com.
With the 27th pick in the NFL Draft, the New England Patriots like...
Now here to
preview the prospect
are the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
And here we are one last time to preview what's going to come up in the draft the next few days. Eric Scalavino, Paul Perillo, Andy Hart from Patriots Football Weekly. And I'm tired of talking about these things. Let's just make some picks, huh? Can we, please?
I wouldn't get tired yet.
I know. We still have 11 hours. Still have another marathon to go. But as far as podcasts go, we're going to wrap it up today. Give our final thoughts, predictions, hopes, fears, dreams for what the Patriots are going to do in this draft. I just hope they make a couple of picks in the first round, guys.
They'll make at least one. I guarantee
at
it.
At least one.
Guarantee
yeah,
it.
But I'm going to be really disappointed if they move out completely. Because
I won't.
And looking more and more at this draft, it's very top-heavy in the first round. After the first 15 or so picks, precipitous drop, I think.
I wouldn't necessarily agree with that characterization. I think it's extremely top-heavy in the top five. Then I think there's a window of 6 through 23.
Yeah, same. Luke Kuechly at 10, Luke Kuechly at 23. Who cares? And I think that's where they're going to seek the value. I think there's a good chance they trade up into the low 20s, mm-hmm. which, I mean,
21, 22,
23, yeah. To get a guy they target. And if they do that...
That'd be great.
It won't necessitate, that word, them trading both of their first-round picks, so you still will have the option for Belichick to do what he loves to do. So you get Chandler Jones, let's say, and then you trade 31 for either a pick next year, a bunch of other picks, you know, couple twos and something else this year. So I think you could get the best of both worlds.
You're moving up to get Chandler Jones?
Yeah, I am dubious that he'll be at 27. I'll be throwing that out there again when you ask me for their pick, but
okay,
we'll wait.
That's a nice tease for telling us what you're actually going to say. What do you think, Paul, as far as their placement in the first round? Are they staying put? Are they moving?
Well, you know, my guess is that they'll probably pick at 27 and look to move to 31, but I mean, I can definitely see Andy's scenario where a group of guys, probably Chandler Jones included, you know, put a couple other guys in that mix. You know, we've been talking a lot about the Alabama guys, the Alabama mm-hmm. defenders, Nick Saban, that experience that you have with him, and the pro-style coaching that they had makes those guys attractive. So if a couple of those were available, say 21, 22, 23, and you are pretty sure that you can get the guy you want, and we don't know who the guy is that they identify, obviously, but they would, then I could see something like that happening. But, you know, I think the recent past would indicate you're probably looking to trade the other way because that's what they have done more often than not.
One thing that we see almost every year is a run on a certain position in the first round. A player goes, and then all of a sudden the next pick or two picks later, another team picks a player at that position, and then teams start to panic, and they say, oh, we want to get someone there. And then all of a sudden, everyone's mock drafts get blown up because, for some reason, seven players at defensive tackle all of a sudden go. What position do you guys think might be primed for that this year?
I think the defensive front seven. And I don't know whether that's end or tackle or both or just the defensive line. I think that group has a lot of talent and some pretty good depth. I mean, you're talking about potentially, I haven't done the numbers, but I got to think 7 to 10 guys in that mold could go in the first round.
Looking at guys like Fletcher Cox, Dontari Poe, Michael Brockers,
Coples, but also Coples. Merciless, mm-hmm. yeah. Melvin Ingram. And teams are going to have, we've already seen the varying opinions on those guys. You know, Melvin Ingram's a guy who, you know, kind of didn't have a position in college, and yet he's going to be the 7th pick in the draft. Well, what if he slips a little bit? Probably not to 27, where Fred Kirsch is hoping he slips.
But you know, don't give away too much. That's going to be on the website.
If he doesn't go 7, and you know, Brockers, there's all these guys that I feel like could go between 10 and 30, and a lot of them are defensive linemen. Poe is the perfect example. He's a nobody. Then he runs a sub-5.40 at 350 pounds, and he's a top 10 pick. Now he's slid back down, and some people have him in the late first round, but right. some Al Davis type might still be in love with him. And so I think that defensive front seven is really where the draft is going to kind of hinge.
Yeah, and I would go more specific. I agree with Andy, but more specifically, I would say the outside guys, the edge guys. So let's throw in the guys that you think might be outside linebackers as well as the ends. I think the tackles are interesting. The interior, you know, the Worthies and the Stills and the Brockers. I think there's some interesting players in that group. But I think that if you're going to get a run, someone who's looking for sort of that, not the hybrid guy that we've been looking for so many years. By we, I say the PFW, not the Patriots, because obviously they don't draft them. But I think, you know, some flat-out ends like Nick Perry and those kinds of guys, as well as the edge guys like Ingram that Andy talked about, I think there could be a run on that. Someone's looking for a dynamic athlete who could play in a 4-3 at end and could maybe do some other things as a pass rusher as well. You know, it'll be interesting because this is a draft that I don't know why it seems this way, but doesn't this seem to be more unsettled in terms of the way it's going to go than the recent past?
Oh, yeah. In terms of consensus picks.
Yeah, there's nothing after two.
Because I mean, literally three is up in the air.
No. They're trying to trade out.
They don't want to trade out.
It hinges on what's going on there, and they don't seem to really want the best player available at three, which will be Trent Richardson, because they have Peterson. And then you could argue the second best player available, Matt Khalil, they don't seem to be in love with. I don't know if it's a PR move. They're trying to build a stadium. They want a receiver. Mm. Whatever it may be. But from three on, it could go a million in trades. Everybody wants to trade.
And Blackman's another guy who's being thrown around in that area,
too. Well, I think that's if they are stuck there, that's the mistake they're going to make at three, is taking Justin Blackman. They're not taking the best player available, and they're not even taking a great need. You drafted a quarterback who was injury-prone in college last year in Christian Ponder, and you don't want the best tackle on the board who could legitimately be a 10-year All-Pro to protect him? That doesn't make any sense to me unless you're trying to flash with a wide receiver who might put up numbers, get a little excitement, and sell a stadium. And that's part of business. I can't fault him.
Right. And I bring that up only because, you know, the unsettled nature, because, you know, you ask the question, what position might there be a run on? And I think that we kind of look at those front seven guys as being – seems to be more of those than others, but – I could just as easily see it being some other position. You know, everybody thinks that, you know, the high-end corners aren't really there. You know, there's no safeties. There's basically one. And all of a sudden, you know, all it takes is one guy to think that, you know, Kirkpatrick or Gilmore is better than some, you know, Claiborne or whatever. And all of a sudden, there's a run on corners that you don't really expect. You know, so I really, this is so unsettled to me. It seems like an odd draft, odd draft.
Individually, which player is going to get drafted far above where he should in the first round?
Ryan Tannehill.
Tannehill is the guy I picked to answer that question. But
it's going to go at eight.
To Miami?
In all likelihood, that's a popular mock. I think if he goes in the first round, he's overdrafted. So whether it's from 8 to 32, I think he's overdrafted. I don't even think he's the third best quarterback in the draft. I don't think he's the third most ready quarterback in the draft. So I think
who do you think is
the
third best quarterback in the draft?
Whedon.
I don't like Whedon as much.
I'm underwhelmed by Whedon,
too. I think
he
can come in and start today. And I saw Bill Polian trumpeting my idea that the age is irrelevant. If you get five or six very good to great years out of him, first-round quality years, doesn't matter. That's a long time in the NFL. That's, you know, that's multiple regimes in some cities of hiring a coach and GM, firing him, going. Yeah. If you win, if you go to the playoffs
six
times.
Probably not if he's good, though.
What do you mean?
It's not multiple regimes
if
he's
good. No, but that's an eternity. I mean, how long ago was it that Aaron Rodgers was Brett Favre's backup, and now he's the best quarterback in football? I mean, if you get that run of 5 years, that's good enough. That, to me, that's much more value than you need.
But would that be okay if Aaron Rodgers was done now?
I think you'd say you had a good run.
I don't agree with that.
Oh, I do. I think if you get a first-round pick who can play, it doesn't matter.
He got you a Super Bowl.
I think a quarterback.
It's hard to argue. He got you a Super Bowl.
No. We're talking about Brandon Whedon here.
No. Yeah, but
if you get that quality of play, he leads you to the playoffs.
Aaron Rodgers type.
Five of six years.
Okay, if he wins you a Super Bowl, okay. But if he doesn't, then I don't think that's long enough.
But that's the standard of a first-round pick.
Yeah, I think it's different. I think it's different at quarterback. I disagree with Polian on that.
Yeah.
I think you got to be. I think you got to be good for more than 5 years if you're going to be a franchise quarterback.
Yeah,
I don't think that's.
I also don't think.
If you win, you're right, Eric. If like Aaron Rodgers, he won a Super Bowl. They can't take that away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Green Bay is always going to have that. And I'm not in any way suggesting that Aaron Rodgers was not, you know, not a good pick, or they erred in, you know, making him wait a little bit or whatever. But I think if Brandon Whedon is good for 5 years, and then all of a sudden he's 34. 30, whatever, what's he, 26
yeah, he's
now?
He's going to be 29,
28,
right?
Yeah,
he's 28
he's 34.
Now.
Yeah, I was right the first time. Mm. You know, we've established I'm not good with numbers. I don't think that's long enough. Yeah. If that's all he, if I all mean, he, if it's, just about if it's just 5 years,
if because I think he's ready to play, he's got to be ready to play.
He'd have to be Peyton Manning for it to be that good.
Oh,
I mean, he'd have to be that. He'd have to be elite for 5 years for 5 years to be long enough.
Well, he needs to be among the top five quarterbacks in the game. Yeah, he needs to be. But I think of that. If I draft a guy in the first round, I want him to be a top five quarterback. I want him to be a legitimate quarterback.
Okay, more than 5 years though.
I don't really care about that. I think that's an eternity in the NFL, so I don't.
I don't think it's that long.
I do.
We mentioned Rodgers and how we alluded to how he slipped in the first round a lot farther than many experts thought. That happens almost every year, as well as the run that we talked about earlier. Who do you guys think is most likely to experience that unforeseen drop in his draft stock?
Keekly. I don't like the world we live in where inside linebackers and fullbacks are not coveted, but you know, it is what it is. You know, Gerard Mayo's been very good. I don't think he was worth the 10th pick in the draft. And that's where, you know, some mocks have Keekly going. But I think he's a guy that if a couple of those teams pass on him, mm-hmm. now all of a sudden he could slide 10, 15 spots and you're in the middle to the late part of the first round. So he's a guy that is projected as a first-round pick that I don't think is worthy of. He's a tackle machine.
For me, it's Poe, and it's for all the reasons that Andy already said.
Yep.
But see,
about
he's
the,
like
the post draft, but now he's
the water is getting to the level it should have been at as a second round pick of an athletic guy
and
with
I think
potential.
You know, a lot of people kind of had him up around 12,
right
for a
after
while
he
there,
ran the 40,
and now I think it's seeking. You know, as you said, it's correct.
It's settled.
Level.
Yeah, it's like a house that's
he's getting back to where he should be.
I think he's going to be available down the stretch of the first round.
Maybe into the second.
Yeah, if not on Friday.
Okay, assuming that they're there at 27, they stay put, they have a pick. Who are the Patriots going to take?
Chandler Jones, defensive end, outside linebacker, Syracuse.
I really like that pick. I'll say that.
Now, he could play, and again, you may have to trade up to get him. There's, you know, talk of San Diego, Chicago in that 18, 19, 20 range. So you may have to go get him, but I think or you may not. I mean, again, I still think this draft is all over the place.
Yeah.
You know, once Keekly and Poe, and if Poe goes, well, now that bumps other guys down. But I think Chandler Jones would be a good. I don't think he's an elite pass rusher.
No.
So fans looking for that, pump the brakes a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I think you'd be very happy with him on the end of the line of scrimmage.
Are you sticking with that, or are you going?
No, well, I like Jones, and because of some of the reasons Andy said. But I mean, I think he has a better chance to be available. I like Merciless, Whitney Merciless. I don't think he'll be available. I think he has better upside in terms of pass rush.
Oh, sure.
God, yeah.
And you know,
also
his dynamic ability.
first of many times you're going to hear that over the next 3 days.
I like him.
Patriots fans are dubbing him Golston 2.0.
But, I mean, just, you
Lost
know.
Potential, huh?
I've sort of been one of the things I've been sticking with throughout this pre-draft process, and I guess I'll stick with it now. Just
Punks,
to have a different one. Yeah.
Criminals.
The bad boys.
Yeah.
And I'll go with Janoris Jenkins because I honestly believe he is a top five talent in this entire draft.
I think a lot of people believe that.
I think he'll be available at 27. And
Number one overall in terms of children.
Bill Belichick is the kind of guy, to me, that looks at a guy like that and says, the dreaded V word, that's value.
Hmm.
This is a top five talent, and he's here at 27. I can't pass him up unless he's a real, real turd. And you can't overlook that.
Yep. I'm going to go with Merciless. I think he might fall just enough and be there for the taking. And
My scenario would hold true. If he's there at 20, okay, I'll take Merciless because I think he has a higher ceiling.
Lower floor?
Lower floor,
okay.
Higher ceiling.
Good.
Does he have a lower floor than Chandler Jones?
Oh, yeah. I think his floor is Golston-like. Holy crap, he went back to the guy who had one sack over his first 2 years at Illinois.
Well, it's all going to start playing out in just a matter of hours, and starting at 8 o'clock, PFW in Progress will be broadcasting live for the entire first round, and then we'll come back and do the same thing for the remainder of the draft on Friday and Saturday.
Three-plus action-packed hours, where you'll hear me rip every pick.
Exactly.
32.
So that's it for the podcast,
but join us
at 8 o'clock Thursday night for round one of the 2012 NFL Draft.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.